Joining us right now, one of my favorites, Nikki Javala. Nikki, of course, covers the team for the Washington Post. You can follow Nikki on X on Twitter, at Nikki Javala, J-H-A-B-V-A-L-A. Nikki joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Just a reminder, we will have the game right here on the Team 980. The Westwood One National Cup coverage of the game Sunday at Philadelphia, you will hear right here on the Team 980. So, I mean, I think we're all kind of surprised, to say the least. I'm wondering if there was a moment at any point this season, before Saturday night, of course, that you thought, maybe you thought it privately, that something like this, a deep run in the postseason, was possible.
I thought they would beat the Lions based on no real, I don't know, it was just one of those feelings. I thought, you know, I just have a feeling that they're going to come out with a win. But I don't know that there was a moment where I ever thought, okay, this team is going to go far in the playoffs. I didn't. I thought going into the Bucs game that they could lose that. But I don't know. There's just something about the way Jaden plays, the way they've won their previous five games on the last play. I mean, this kid just finds a way, and it's remarkable to watch. He's totally switched this team from being, sort of a dumpster fire, that couldn't stay in games beyond, the third quarter if they were losing, let alone finish it on the last play. There's just something about him that gives you confidence that he can find a way to pull it out. I actually think they're going to win in Philly. And a part of me pains me to say that as a beat writer, not that I'm ever rooting against this team, but I don't view myself as a homer either. And that's not what this is. I just think they have a really good chance to win. Granted, the last time they beat Philly was when Kenny Pickett was in at quarterback, and that changes things drastically, no doubt. But I don't know. Just the way they're playing lately, they look really solid. They're confident, and that goes a long way.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think we all know why we feel that way. You've already mentioned it. It's Jaden. But prior to, them being a 12-win team and having a playoff game and then going into Detroit, was there a moment during the season where you're like, this is different and they are definitely, if not a playoff team and a contender this year, they're going to be? Like, I'm trying to find, like, when did you know that things were different? What was the moment?
Week three. And I didn't know that, the season would play out like it did, obviously, but that's when you knew that Jaden was different. It's that 27-yard touchdown to Terry McLaurin on third down where Jaden takes a shot and still throws an absolute dime to Terry on Monday Night Football. That's when I knew. That's when I feel like a lot of people knew. I asked Terry this exact same question after the game in Detroit. Like, when did you know that Jaden was legit? And of course you get all the stories from players of, we saw him in camp and OTAs and we knew he had a real shot then. Of course they've said the same things about Sam Howell and the countless quarterbacks that have come through. But that game was Jaden's coming out party, so to speak. I think that's when a lot of people knew, like, okay, this kid's special. He's different. And I remember talking to Troy Aikman a few days after the game, and he felt the same way. Like, he was somewhat blown away by what he saw. That game was a turning point for me.
Behind the scenes, Nikki, talking to the people that you get to talk to on the record and off of it, do they believe what I think most of us believe, that this is really the result of Jaden so much more than anything else? Or would they give credit to other things like Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury in particular? Like, do they understand that this is a strap to the back situation by an unprecedented rookie quarterback? Or do they think it's a lot of other things that have, you know, been put into the stew that's created what we have now?
I think they, and I believe this too, that it's mostly Jaden that says that you can't, you can have a really good quarterback, and if you don't know how to get the best out of him, especially as a rookie, then you're not going to go very far. I think Caleb Williams is a very good quarterback, and they couldn't figure out how to get the best out of them, and look at them. But Jaden is exceptional, and they have not had an exceptional quarterback in decades. So I think it rests largely on him. Now, they, you know, getting Dan Snyder out and bringing in, you know, an ownership group that really wants to see the team succeed, and bringing in somebody overseeing personnel that really knows personnel and has brought in some really good players and built a team smartly with a clear plan. To me, that's one of the biggest things, too, is both Adam Peters and Dan Quinn came in with a clear plan, and they stuck to it from day one. They haven't wavered from it. They don't waver from their practice schedule. They don't waver from the types of players they're looking for. They don't waver from their one-year goal to their three-year goal. Like, they stick with it. The messaging stays the same. So, yes, a lot of it is because of Jaden. I just feel like you can't go very far in the league nowadays without an elite quarterback. You can have decent success with a very good quarterback, but you're not going to win it all without an elite one anymore. The game has just changed.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
also have to put the right pieces around them to make that happen.
Right. I think sometimes, and it's probably not applicable to this part of the conversation, but I think sometimes we get so wrapped up into it, and yet if you were talking to people involved, they would say, oh, no. Let me just tell you, Cliff Kingsbury has so much to do with this. But from the outside looking in, I think Cliff's great. Don't get me wrong, but he's got the best mold of clay of all time as a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
So
he's got an incredible talent. He does deserve some credit in that he's not running his traditional air raid. He's tailored this system, much like Baltimore did with Lamar. And that's why they've had a lot of success. So he does deserve a lot of credit, but he can't do what he does without Jaden.
Yeah, and I think your point, and I think everybody that's followed this team even for, you know, a minute understands that number one on getting here was Dan selling the team, period.
Yep.
Because they
yep.
wouldn't have somehow ended up with Jaden anyway, and if they did, he would have ruined it, and it wouldn't have worked. But anyway, okay. We move on. Other than just being where they are right now, what surprised you the most about the team from the point you started to see it in the offseason through camp to where we are now?
Surprised me the
other
most.
Other than the result. Stumped you.
Yeah, you did. I'm trying to think if anything really surprised me. I guess it's sort of related. I mean, I didn't think they'd be as good as they are. That's, you know, tied to the result, obviously, but I mean, just a group of receivers, obviously, like it, going in, especially after they traded Jahan, it just felt like it was Terry and a bunch of guys. And yes, a large part of it is Jaden, and you know, he gets them the ball and he delivers it well. But that group has played well together. I thought Diami has really stepped up in the last four or five games. I think Olamide has been a key addition. He stepped up. I thought, you know, Jamison Crowder has been really good for them. Now, are they all, like, elite receivers? No, but they play well as a group. And you see that it most of the positions, like the offensive line, are they one of the best offensive lines of football? No, but they play well as a group, and, you know, Jaden helps to mask some of the inefficiencies. I guess if there's one surprise, it's probably not the most positive one. I thought the run defense would be better at this point, especially having Wagner and Luvu back there. I still don't understand fully why that's not better, but they have had their moments, you know, like the last game against Philly, Saquon went off in the first quarter and they managed to contain him a little bit better over the next three quarters. So, they've had their moments. It's just, that's always a liability going into every game.
Yeah, I was going to add that. You just said it, because I thought with – they were great in 22. They were terrible in 23 on defense. And defense, mm-hmm. you know, is more variable year to year than offense is. But I thought with some of the additions – and I can't answer it either, and I don't know that anybody has answered it. And you just said it's a tough answer. They've got good players on defense. Mm-hmm. I think anybody watching would say Frankie Louvu's a really good player. Bobby Wagner can play. Jeremy Chin's pretty good. You know, Quan mm-hmm. Martin has moments. You know, Fowler Jr. But for whatever reason, it's not been a consistently good defense. More often than not, it's been subpar. And I don't know that anybody has the answer as to why.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it. It just feels like, you know, there's still multiple missed tackles, and that's where, you know, a lot of these runners gash them. Coverage has been spotty, to put it politely. So, yeah, it's been inconsistent. I do think the group overall, my son says hello.
Hello.
I think the group overall has improved. I mean, they stepped up big time in Detroit, you know, forcing those 5 turnovers. It, you know, hard to criticize with that, but, you know, when you're going against A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts, you know, you have to be consistent and a complete defense to have a chance.
We are talking, of course, to Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post. So, is it fair at this point and safe to say that Cliff Kingsbury will be back?
I think the odds are very good, just because he hasn't interviewed with teams, and, you know, spots are starting to fill up. But, you know, we'll see. If they make it to the Super Bowl and he continues to hold out, then, yeah, it kind of looks like it. You know, I think it's, and he said this publicly, that at some point, yeah, he would like to be a head coach again, but I think he's going to be very selective this time around, and it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to make him want to leave Jaden Daniels. He knows he's got a great setup here. It didn't appear that any of the situations outside of maybe Chicago, given his, you know, relationship with Caleb Williams from their time at USC together, it didn't seem like any opportunity would be all that great. I mean, would you want to go to Vegas and take that down, or Jacksonville, or
when I'm getting paid like a head coach? You know, the compensation is a big part
like
of it.
By Arizona, so
yeah. All right, so you have that feeling again. You had that feeling Saturday night. You have that feeling again about Sunday. How do they win? What are the keys to beating the Eagles?
I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter again. I think it's going to be a late one. They got to find some way to slow Saquon Barkley. I don't think you can ever fully contain a guy like that. But, you know, he's put to, what, 148 a game against the Commanders this season. You got to find some way.
He did pretty well as a Giant, too, against Washington.
Yeah. You got to find some way to slow him down a bit. I mean, it's a pick your poison game. You got to either try to contain A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, really, but either them or Saquon.
What is your guess on Hurts?
As far as will he play, or
yeah, if he plays, what, you know, how healthy is he? What's the injury? Do we have any idea what's going to come out tomorrow?
I mean, I think he'll play. He'll find some way to play. You know, may have a number of drugs coursing through his veins before, you know, he steps on the field, but
right.
I think he finds a way to play. It's cliche, but I think everybody's dealing with something at this point. He was able to go back in the last one, so I would be very surprised if he doesn't play. And now, will he be able to do everything that he's capable of doing? We'll see. But I would expect him to be out there.
How much more fun have you had this year than the previous few years?
Oh, my gosh. Covering a really good football team versus covering congressional investigations? Yeah, I'll take this year over any day. It's been sort of a slog the last 10 years, really, for me. But, I mean, I love the job no matter what I'm doing. It's a awesome gig, so no complaints there. But it is pretty fun to just be back in the throes of real football again and not have to worry about, you know, putting out another fire that starts. So, yeah, it's just cool to witness history, witness what's going on. I mean, this turnaround is just remarkable. What Jaden's doing is remarkable. So, yeah, it's fun to be a part of that.
Sounds like a book, Nikki. And I'm being serious. Like, you know, some of the books that are written about championship teams are, you know, typically written by people who covered the team throughout the year. And you just identified this would be one of the all-time stories from where they were to where they got to so quickly. Sincerely, do you think about that as you're covering this team, about if they were to go on and win the Super Bowl?
I do. I think about it. And then I remember that I have an 11-month-old. So, like, if I could add, like, 5 hours to the day, I think it would probably be feasible. But I don't know. We'll see. It is a great story. I'm enjoying the ride now. We'll see how far they go. And, yeah, if an opportunity comes up to write something, maybe. Those things take a lot of work. But I would like to write a book at some point in my career, so we'll see.
All right. Well, enjoy the most important thing, which is your 11-month-old son. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kevin.
Nikki Javala, everybody. When did you know? When did you first think? Not that the NFC Championship game this year was a possibility, but that they were good enough to be a factor in the NFC race, that they were going to be a playoff team, and they, if everything broke right, they could make a run. When did you first think that this was possible? And if the answer is you've never thought it was possible and you still don't think it's possible that they get a step further, that's fine too. But when was the moment? You know, Nikki said that Cincinnati game. I think that's the answer for a lot of people. I have another answer for you. Denton will give you his, but I want yours at 301-230-0980. When did you first consider that the postseason and maybe a run in the postseason was a possibility? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. When did you know, 301-230-0980, when did you know that something resembling this was possible? We'll get to your calls, and I'll mention when I first thought something like this was possible in a moment, and Denton will. But real quickly, I have some very sad news to share. A member of our 980 family and the 106.7, the fan family, Pete Medhurst. Pete passed away last night. He was surrounded by family after his battle with brain cancer. As many of you know, Pete was a full-time co-host with Chris Russell in this day part, actually. Or maybe it was in this day part, because they followed us in mornings. And Pete was incredible in terms of his knowledge of sports. He did so much as a professional broadcaster, calling Navy football and Navy basketball, and just so much that Pete did professionally. And we send out all of our thoughts, prayers, and sympathies to his family. He will be missed. Really, really sad news to hear this morning. All right. When did you know? When did you know? I was super impressed with what happened in Cincinnati in week 3. Look, I was impressed. You and I were both impressed before. And not to break our arms patting ourselves on the back, we both thought something like this was we both thought that a really strong rookie season and a major turnaround. I mean, I predicted 10-7, for crying out loud. I mean, again, I've said this many times, the tongue was partly and firmly in cheek, more partly than firmly. But still, the reason I went out on that limb was because I was a massive Jaden Daniels fan, and I thought he would be ready sooner rather than later, and I thought the way he played totally fit the NFL of 2024. And so I thought that they could be much improved this year. Of course, nobody ever thought this. I certainly didn't think this. I did say 10-7 with a wild card playoff round, but that was it. It wasn't the Cincinnati game. It was the next week at Arizona, because I remember coming in here and saying that was an impressive win. They had had this incredible win on Monday Night Football. They had a short week and a long trip. And Arizona, remember, at the time, had just come off pummeling the Rams, and they had lost a close game to Detroit, so it looked like the Cardinals were pretty good. In fact, I think the Cardinals were favored in that game in Week 4. And it was destruction. It was Jaden with another outrageous completion percentage game, 26 of 30. Brian Robinson and Jeremy McNichols and Jaden Daniels, they rushed for 216 yards. They were just dominant. It was like 30 first downs. They couldn't be stopped on third down or fourth down. They didn't punt in the game against the Giants. And then against the Bengals, the next game, they didn't punt. They'd gone two straight games without a punt. And then they got to the Cardinals game, and they were up, you know, they ended up winning 42-15, and they punted once in the game. And I'm like, what is going on here? They are unstoppable offensively. They just hung 42 on the Cardinals, a team that the Lions could only score 20 against, a team that the Rams got blown out by 41-10. They almost beat the Bills in the opener. I think that's when I started to think, wow, they're 3-1. And oh, by the way, they got the Browns coming up to get to 4-1. This could be a playoff team in his rookie year, but already blown away by him for the three straight games. But that was a big spot. In fact, I'm pretty sure Denton, I gave the Cardinals out as a smell test pick and lost. I think I had Washington against Cincinnati, but they just figured, well, this is what happens in the NFL. You have this incredible emotional Monday night win, short week, going out west, and you're going to get beat. And they didn't get beat. I still am mystified as to why in that particular game Kyler Murray decided not to run at all. He was not a factor as a runner in the game at all, which made no sense at all, because he had had a couple of big games rushing coming into it. Like, I think he was averaging over 50 or 60 yards rushing per game, and then he didn't run the ball. I think he ran once for like 2 yards. That was the game in which I thought they're 3-1. They're going to be 4-1 playing the Browns. They got a shot to make this season a 9-10 win season and be in the postseason. Now, in terms of a deep run, that was probably more at 7-2. That was probably more after they beat the Giants and they had the Steelers coming in, and it was like, wow, they got a chance to win the division and potentially be a 2 seed. Remember, we were talking about that. It's like, if they're a 2 seed, they got a chance to win one game and be in the NFC, two games and be in the NFC championship game, with both of those games being at home. But I think the first moment for me where I was like, something is possible this year, was the Arizona game. In terms of a deep run, we did, again, part, you know, jokingly, say, look out, they could be a 1 or 2 seed at this rate when they were 7-2. When was it for you, Denton? When did you know?
When I knew about a deep run was the time they beat Philly. Because if you remember, Kevin, in the lead up to that game, the conversation swirling around this team was, yeah, they haven't beat anybody. What are they going to do when they beat a playoff team? And they didn't just have a playoff team come into their territory. They had one of the biggest, baddest playoff teams come into their territory. And Jaden did what nobody else had done against that defense. And I know Eagles fans are going to cry, well, it's Kenny Pickett. It was Kenny Pickett. I don't give a damn who was playing quarterback for them. Jaden hung 22 on their defense So at that point, I knew, all right, this is not just a we're happy to be here moment. This is we can go out there and we can make a deep run so long as number five is the guy that's leading the charge. So I know that's a lot later than most, but when they beat Philadelphia, that was like when I was like, oh, this is a very different season from what the expectations were a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think the one thing about that is that I agree with you in terms of, I mean, look, when they got to 7-2 before they went to Philadelphia, before they played Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and the three-game losing skid started, I mean, we were sitting here talking about, wow, I mean, a division title and, you know, the possibility. I mean, remember Philadelphia's remaining schedule? We were starting to go through it. We get Philly twice, but they still have to play the Rams. They still have to play the Ravens. They still have to play the Steelers. Like, they had a lot of brutal games left. And they, you know, hadn't beaten anybody necessarily either, you know, on their way to 7-2. And I was thinking, you know, I don't think they're better than Detroit at that point. And Detroit hadn't started to have all of the injuries. I didn't think they were better than Green Bay. Remember, we consistently had Detroit and Green Bay and then moved Philly into that onto that list of the best teams in the NFC. But it took a while for Philly to get there. Because they started 2-2. They almost lost to Cleveland at home. And they were banged up early in the season. But I think the moment for me in terms of, oh, the playoffs are a reality, was when they went and smoked Arizona. Because that is a spot in the NFL that is the proverbial letdown spot. And they didn't let down. And not only that, they blew a team out that had played competitive football for the first 3 weeks of the season against some good teams, the Bills and the Lions in particular. The Rams were banged up when the Cardinals beat them. In terms of they can make it to the NFC Championship game, for me it was like, look, at 7-2, if they were to win the division and be the 2 seed, they got a shot. They certainly would have a chance to win 2 playoff games at home. I certainly wouldn't have wagered on it. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. When did you know, and I think in talking this thing out with Denton, it's like, when did you know that the playoffs, like this team was different, like there was a chance they'd make the playoffs, and then when did you actually consider, if you ever did before Saturday night, that a Super Bowl was a possibility? Let's go to Eli. Eli, kick it off for us. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, Kev? So as far as making the playoffs, I think I kind of agree with you. The Arizona, the Cleveland, that stretch, that was really impressive. So I was thinking playoffs. But then we had the, you know, we had the law with the three-game losing streak.
Right.
And then the way that first half of Philly started, I was like, man, you know, I don't know if we're ready. But then, you know, when Jaden did what he did in the second half and threw that touchdown pass, I was like, okay, this is special. And then the second half of the Cowboys game, you know, when we took Jaden out, I was like, man, you know, are we just conceding and, like, trying to get the seventh spot? And to see Marcus, you know, come and do what he did, that let me know that this team believes in itself and is special. So that's kind of, you know, that second half of Philly, that second half of Dallas, when they showed that even if five isn't there, that they believe that brotherhood with Dan Quinn, that's when I knew. And then when Tampa and the Wild Card, when we had the doink, that's kind of reminded me of the Nats 2019 run. And I'm like, man, we're going to do something real special. So I have faith that we're going up to Philly and we're winning that game and Super Bowl. That's where I'm at. Thanks for the
For the call, Eli. Let's go to Dominique in Norfolk, or Norfolk, as they say down there. Dominique, go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, how's everything?
Everything's good.
I think the moment I thought the ceiling was going to be good was the Cincinnati game. Then the Arizona game, I'm like. And then I think when the management made the decision to go straight to Arizona, that meant that they were serious about winning. And then the game against the Eagles, the second half against the Eagles, I was like, because, I mean, I was at that game, and I'm seeing Cliff and everybody never getting down after the turnovers, and they were just, you know, just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then Jaden lit them up in the second half. And then the Falcons game, the MVP chance, I knew that a long run was possible. Possible Super Bowl. It is what it is. Hey, look, Sunday's going to be a great game. Hopefully JD5 can pull it through. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Denton, a friend of mine just texted me. When did we first start talking about Jaden as an MVP candidate? Because we did.
That was after. That was right around the time and after the Hail Mary. You see, you had the Hail Mary, but it was then that Giants game where we got on air on Monday and was like, this was a damn near perfect quarterback performance. So it was right around that time of the season.
Yeah, that Giant game on the road is an underrated, outstanding game from Jaden Daniels this year. He had some throws in that game. That throw to Noah Brown on a third down in between, you know, underneath zone coverage. It was well done. The touchdown pass to Terry right before the half. Remember that? They went for it like in right before the end of the half. Like there were like 8 seconds to go, no timeouts, and he threw a dime to Terry in the end zone. That game was really impressive. Let's go to Ian. Ian, when did you know?
I'm in shock. I still don't know. I'm going through the schedule, and at multiple points, you're like, this team's got something, right? Like the Hail Mary, like flukish things occur. The Falcons game, the way they win it. The Tampa Bay game. And in so many of their wins, if you were the opposing coach, you'd just say, just keep running the ball. Why did Detroit stop running the ball? Why did Tampa change their game plan? Why did X, Y, Z occur? And it just shows you the aura of Daniels. It's like almost like they're so afraid of him that they go away from what's working. I mean, Detroit, Ben Johnson, for all the kudos he's gotten, it's right in front of you. Something is working. Nope, I'm going to stop that. Put the ball in a guy's hands. It was throwing foolish things, but they're so in awe of Jaden Daniels that they're almost changing their game plan. So for me against Philly, in some ways I love that it's a rubber match between the two. I hope you get someone like Howard Eskin on. He's always a spicy guest for you to get kind of that thought. And honestly, I feel like Nick Sirianni will do the same thing. Like, we got to change everything that we're doing. You should just run Saquon Barkley. No. We're going to do something different. I mean, there's nothing stopping Washington, and their run defense is horrible. Their playmakers are mediocre. But he is a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes type level where Kingsbury's gone next year, no one cares. If Dan
there's no moment because you answered the question, which there hasn't been a moment, and you're going on and on, which I actually think you've made a point here that I think it deserves emphasis, so I'm going to emphasize it because it's so rare when you make a point worthy of emphasis, but I'm going to do it here. Because, you know, I had Cooley on my podcast yesterday, and we were just talking about, you know, Jared Goff kind of forcing one on second and 14 versus Jaden taking a check down on third and 14, which set up that first fourth down. And what's happening here, and you've alluded to it, thanks, Ian, as always, you've alluded to it, the game pressure that Washington's offense has created on the opponent is palpable. You know, it was very clear during the early portion of that game, second quarter anyway, that if you're Detroit, you better score every time you have the football because you've got no chance of stopping him. This is part of, like, you know, the offense is your best defense. It's not just keeping the ball and possessing the ball and scoring with the ball. It's what that does to the opponent's offense. Like, if you're Detroit, you knew you had a problem defensively anyway. You've had a problem defensively for weeks. But now it's like, this dude's different. This dude's doing to us what Josh Allen did to us when Josh Allen put up 48 against us and we couldn't get him off the field. And you're in a playoff game now. It's not a regular season game. And Jared Goff pressed. Ben Johnson pressed because they knew they couldn't leave the field without a touchdown. Not three, a touchdown. I mean, what are you doing running a reverse pass with your receiver when 26, Jahmyr Gibbs, every time he touches it, he's going for 9 or 10 yards, whether it's as a pass catcher or as a runner? Look, that little pitch shovel pass play with Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown, that was pretty nifty. I'm not going to lie to you. I've never seen that before, and it was fancy, and it worked. But they got to the point where they understood the game could get out of control if we don't score. If we don't score on this possession, we're going to be down two scores. We're going to be down three, and it's going to be over. The game pressure that Washington's offense puts on the opposing offense is 100% a real thing. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, when did you know?
So,
Ross.
I knew. You got me?
I got you now.
Okay. Yeah, so real quick, man. Back when the Shanahans decided to sit RG3 for those last three games back in 2013, me and my wife had our very first date that week. So she wasn't in my life during the 2012 season. So she knew what we've been through from 2013 until now. I was watching the Bengals game, and she just came up to me and was like, what does Washington get all of a sudden? And I'm like, I don't know. It's too early to tell. But when I knew that we were going to be contenders, I thought it was the Falcons game. It was just something about that atmosphere. And I don't know if Denton can hear me right now, but I'm going to DM you, Denton, the little video clip that I recorded, because I've never seen anything like it. And, yeah, that's when I thought we were going to be, like, legit contenders in the playoffs. Like, any team, any time, any place, doesn't matter. But quick little side note in regard to Jaden Daniels. I need somebody, whether it's you, Kevin, Denton, somebody, find Trevez Moore, get him on, and ask him what his current thoughts are on Jaden Daniels.
I don't know who that is.
Don't know who I'm talking about.
I have no idea who that is.
Denton might remember the video. This is when he left Arizona State, Jaden Daniels, and he was the guy recording everybody around his locker talking about, oh, he's gone. He sucks anyway. Who needs him? I just need to know if he still feels that way. But I'm all in for Sunday, man. I take back what I said last week. Let's get this ring, baby.
Who cares?
Yeah. Let's get this ring, man.
All right. Thanks, Ross. Appreciate it. If you're on hold, stay there. 301-230-0980. When did you know, and it's really kind of two-part, when did you know that this year was going to be different? Like, this was a team that could really make the playoffs and have a winning record, et cetera. But when did you know, if ever, before Saturday night, that a Super Bowl run was in the cards? Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Very nice. Many of you who are tweeting and writing us to express your sympathies. If you didn't hear the news, Pete Medhurst, longtime broadcaster in the area, Chris's co-host for a few years, forever on 106.7 The Fan, Navy football, Navy basketball. He lost his battle with brain cancer and passed away last night. As we said before, sympathies to the family, but thank you for all of you expressing your sadness over this. Yes, it is sad for sure. Too young. All right, back to the phones, 301-230-0980. We're talking about when did you know? When did you know that this was different, this season was going to be different, meaning they were going to make the playoffs, they were going to have a winning record? And then when did you know, if at all, before Saturday night, that an actual run to the Super Bowl was a possibility? I said that I think, for me, the Cincinnati game was certainly stunning, and it was an unbelievable performance by Jaden. Not only did he have that incredible, memorable throw to Terry McLaurin to kind of seal the deal, to make it 38-26 late in the game, he was 21 of 23 in the game for 254. And I do remember, too, that there was this feeling like, okay, Terry's got a real quarterback right now. Because remember, it started off slowly in the first two games for him. That wasn't the moment. You know, for me, it was the next week. And part of it is just the perspective of being a sports bettor. That is a trap week in the NFL. You go from Monday Night Football, this emotional win, sky high, and you're playing a team that's well-rested, and by the way, is playing well. They had almost beaten Buffalo. They had beaten the crush the Rams, and had almost beaten Detroit in week three. And they went in there, and they beat the Cardinals 42-14. And again, they weren't stopped offensively. The first two drives were touchdown, touchdown, and then Jaden made his first mistake. He threw an interception. They kicked a field goal at the end of the half, and then the second half drives were touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. And you're like, what is this? And I remember coming in saying, one thing we know, this offense is borderline unstoppable. That means you have a chance to go win more games and maybe a lot more games than you lose and be in the postseason. Now, was I thinking after that game that they were going to be one game away from the Super Bowl? No. But at 7-2, when there was a chance that they could be a division winner and maybe a 2 seed with 2 home games, that's when I was like, look, something deep into January is a possibility. Now, let me also say that after 3 straight losses, I did not think that was a possibility. I thought, okay, that's fine. Not the first 2 losses, because remember, the losses to the Steelers and the Eagles in that time frame were losses to 2 really good teams and 2 excellent defensive teams. And the Philly game, to me, the Thursday night game, is a bit of a don't look too much into it. They had 4 days. They weren't rested. They came off a, you know, an absolute epic against Pittsburgh. Philly was rested at home. First matchup with a great defense and a great defensive coordinator. Jaden, remember, didn't have practice time because of the ribs, because of the rib injury. The Cowboy game, though, at home definitely was a concern. You know, at that point, it was like, okay, that's the first bad loss. Let's see if we can get it together here. But at that point, the 2 seed and 2 home games was out of the equation, and now it's just, all right, I still think they'll make the postseason, but probably as a 7, and they'll have to play at Philly. All right, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Nick, who's calling from Syracuse, upstate New York. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How you doing, man?
I'm well.
I think my first moment, I'm 20 years old, so I've suffered with this team for a long time. My first moment I knew this team was special was the Hail Mary against Chicago. I was watching it with my roommate, who's a Bears fan, and that had never happened. And we had never gotten a break like that, so I was like, okay, this team can seriously make some noise, potentially win the division, maybe win a playoff game. But the Philly game where Daniels had 5 touchdowns,
yeah,
and they overcame 5 turnovers. That's where I thought this team could really go on a run. If they can overcome hurting themselves that badly and still win a game against an elite defense, that's where I thought anything was possible with 5.
You know, so you kind of agree with Denton. What's interesting about that, the performance against the Eagles, you know, overcoming 5 turnovers against that team and Jaden doing what he did was unreal. And at the same time, there really wasn't a chance of winning the division. So knowing that they were going to have to go on the road, I wasn't thinking that a deep run was possible. I think I gave up on the deep, deep run when the division was out of reach, which it became out of reach after that 3-game losing skid with the Eagles continuing to surge. I mean, the Eagles got on a roll, obviously. You know, like, I mean, they lost to us, but they had won, what was it, 9 in a row heading into our game, 10 in a row, something like that. And remember how impressive they were against the Ravens, and they were impressive against the Steelers. I mean, they were hammering some teams, and they were impressive against us, you know, on a short week as well. But yeah, I mean, that game itself was certainly proof about Jaden, if you didn't know it already. Let's go to Jalen in Richmond. Jalen, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Thank you for taking my call.
Before you getting snow down there, Jalen?
No, actually, it's pretty good weather-wise. I mean, it's just cold, but we haven't received like any.
Because a lot of the South is getting hammered with a snowstorm. I thought Richmond was going to get a little snow. All right, go ahead.
But before I address the question that's presented, I too wanted to express my condolences in response to the passing of Pete Mathurst, and my thoughts and prayers are with his family. And you presented the question a while back on October 1st, and I recall it like it was yesterday. You had mentioned what was possible for the team at that point, and I had responded that I believe that they could make a deep playoff run and get to the conference championship. And you and I, we share similar perspectives. I thought the Arizona game was the most complete performance that I've felt like that we had as a team. And from that point on, that's when I knew that this was possible. Now, in terms of winning the Super Bowl potentially, once we beat Philly that second game, I agree with the previous caller. Jaden Daniels' performance against that defense, putting up the type of numbers that he put up, I felt like spoke volumes to what type of quarterback he was and what we were capable of doing in terms of just whoever it was that we played. Like, once we beat Philly that second game, I was just like, I knew it doesn't matter whether we go on the road, whether we play at home, we can beat anybody. And I genuinely feel like that we are going to win this game Sunday and get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. So I would say that those are my places where I've really felt belief in the team. But as always, Kevin, thank you for taking my call here to the Burgundy and Gold.
Yeah, good call, Jalen, as always. Jalen's got always a good caller. I just think it sounds so ridiculous with him going, I think they're going to win on Sunday, and I think they're going to go on and win the Super Bowl. And we're not laughing. You know, we're not like, okay, whatever, dude. Next caller. I think they're going to win Sunday. And I think they're going to go on and have a chance because of how good they are at quarterback and on offense to hang in there and potentially win against Buffalo or Kansas City. I mean, you literally have to just, I don't know, you got to shake yourself a little bit just to understand this is a real conversation we're having. A real conversation. They are 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl, and they're playing a team that they beat, that they overcame five turnovers against to beat, and a team whose starting quarterback is compromised right now. All right, we'll do this one more segment. Phone lines are packed. Everybody stay there. I promise I'll get to you. Also, Merrill Reese will join us. Merrill will join us at around 12:25, the longtime radio voice of the Philadelphia Eagles. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app.